He was on this planet, but gradually he made his way up. He made it back home, back to Godhead, over Vrindavan. There he was. He arrived sort of middle of the afternoon. He was wondering, where am I? Am I actually in Goloka Vrindavan? Is it possible that I made it? So he saw one old man, and he went and asked him. Saw one house there, he said, whose house is that? And the old man said, this is the house of Nanda Maharaj, the father of Sri Nandananda. And the man just broke down, crying in ecstasy. And Gopakumar understood, this is Goloka Vrindavan. I have arrived here. Then all the people started coming out of their houses with different paraphernalia for greeting Krishna and Balaram when they arrived. They were coming. So they all came running out to greet Krishna and Balaram. Gopakumar ran with them. Then he saw in the distance, there's Krishna. And Krishna saw Gopakumar. So they both came running out. Gopakumar came running out from the other Vrijvasis. Krishna came running out from the coward boys. And they met in the middle and embraced. And Krishna was so happy. Well, they were both so happy. And Krishna was so happy. And Krishna asked Gopakumar, where have you been? I haven't seen you for a long time. So much for the idea that we did not fall from the spiritual world. So Krishna's expressing himself like this. They are embracing each other, crying in ecstasy. Krishna fainted on the ground. Gopakumar was shocked. What happened? Did I do something? Is something wrong? All the bridge back buses now had gathered, and they saw Krishna lying on the ground, motionless. And they said to each other, what has happened to our Krishna? Is he dead? And someone else, who did it to him? And the other person pointed to Gopakumar. It was him. And they all looked at Gopakumar and started closing in on Gopakumar. Someone asked, who is he? And the other person said, I haven't seen him before. And another person said, maybe he is a servant of Kamsa. Menacing ways, they gathered around Gopakumar. And Gopakumar is completely bewildered. I just arrived here in Goloka Vrindavan. It's the best of the best of the best. It's just the perfection. And now suddenly there's a total disaster. They're probably going to kick me out. Back to Chatsworth. I don't know what to do. But then Lord Balaram came on the scene. As we said, he is very intelligent, Balaram, as the older brother. You know what older brothers are like, right? They think they're more intelligent. Anyway, Balaram, he's especially intelligent. And he immediately evaluated the situation and knelt down next by him. Next to Krishna, and took Gopakumar by the hand and pulled him down. Now Gopakumar is sitting there right next to Krishna's head. Balaram put Krishna's head on the lap of Gopakumar, took Gopakumar's hand, and made him stroke the head of Krishna. Told Gopakumar some nice sweet words to say to encourage Krishna. And our Gopakumar is saying those words and stroking Krishna's head. And suddenly, oh, Krishna came back to consciousness. And everyone was so happy. Krishna is all right. Who saved him? It was him, the new boy. Oh, he's so wonderful. So Gopakumar went from public enemy number one to hero number one and was immediately accepted in Vrijvasi society by the intelligent arrangement of Lord Balaram, because he helps the devotees. He knows how to help the devotees. He's not an ordinary person, neither is he a, so to speak, ordinary avatar. He's very special. He has all the 64 qualities of Krishna. So now, yes. Say a few more words about Lord Balaram. Is that okay? So, one time in the hot, are you okay? Are you comfortable? I am. In the middle of the hot summer season, Krishna and Balaram and the cowboys and the cows were in Bandiravan. Bandiravan, the forest of banyan trees. It's very nice. On the other side, eastern side of the Yamuna. So, it was, as usual, a very good day. They were so happy. And it was one of those days, everyone was in a playful mood. They were playing all sorts of games. Mock wrestling. Boys will be boys. Mock wrestling. Grabbing each other's hair. Whirling, spinning each other around. You know, by in the kirtan, that spinning. High speed, spinning. Jumping, throwing, slapping, and dragging each other. Oh. Then one mystical demon, Prahlavasura, assumed the form of one of the cowherd boys and entered the group. Vishwacharya Thakur says, he assumed the form of one boy whose birthday it was that day, who had stayed at home to have a party with his mother. So now they're all playing these games. And Krishna, of course, he is omniscient. He immediately understood the situation. But he didn't say anything. Rather, he treated this Prahlavasura, disguised as a cowboy, treated him very nicely. Oh, my friend, why don't you join us in the game? Very nice, enthusiastic. So, they played a game of tag. Who will be first to touch Krishna? They play another game. Some boy comes up from behind, covers the eyes with his hands, and you have to guess who it is. Okay? Then, sometimes, they would make wagers. I bet my stick that we can beat you in something like that. Sometimes they would act as kings, become very haughty and apparently arrogant. In this mood, they began the practice of stopping the gopis and dividing tax, but that was another day. So this time, they decided to have a team game. Krishna and Balaram became the leaders of two opposing teams. Those who were naturally Krishna's friends were on his team. Those who were naturally Balaram's friends, they joined his team. So then they played different games, which involve the carrier and the carried. Different games where people are being carried. And the deal was, whoever loses, or say whoever wins, is going to be carried for some distance by the losing team. Would you believe it? Krishna's team lost. Would you believe? Maybe because Krishna is very kind to the devotees. Balaram's in the mood of the devotee. Krishna's kind to the devotees, so he likes to let the devotees win. So Krishna's team lost. They had to carry Balaram and Balaram's team. And Pralamba Sura had been on Krishna's team. So Pralambasura now is carrying Lord Balaram. And Balaram is very excited. Balaram, interesting point, he is under the influence of Yoga Maya in this pastime. So even though he is omniscient, but he was still not aware, Krishna was aware. Who is Pralambasura? Balaram was not aware. He thought it's one of the little cowbird boys. So Balaram was so happy. Yay! Let's go! I'm riding on you. Go this way! Go that way! Come on! He didn't notice Pralambasura was just gradually taking him away from the other boy. He's just too fired up. So then, Pralambasura, when he was a little distance away, Pralambasura thought, right, now I will manifest my real form and kill this Balaram. So he started expanding. His body started becoming bigger and bigger. And Balaram found he was going higher and higher. And soon he was way up and looking all around Vrajmandala. And Balaram was wondering, what happened to my little cowherd boy friend? But he's under Yoga Maya, so still he didn't really do anything. Then Krishna brought him to his real consciousness as the Supreme Lord. Krishna called out to him that, why are you doing this? Why are you just manifesting the consciousness of an ordinary person? You are the Supreme Lord. Don't forget that. And Balaram realized, oh yes, I'm the Supreme Lord. His remembrance came back. He was, and Krishna told him, kill the demon. Balaram immediately thought, I can't do that, I can't kill a cowherd boy. It's not right. Krishna understood. Krishna shouted to her, don't think he's a cowherd boy. Don't forget, I killed Putana. She was a woman, but she was a demon, therefore I killed her, even though she's a woman, because you can't kill women. And I killed a cow. I killed Vatsasura. And you can't kill cows. You definitely can't kill cows. But he was a demon, so I killed him. So you kill this demon. So Lord Balaram, on the shoulders of Pralambasura, started punching him in the head. Pralambasura's head immediately split in two. He vomited blood and fell to the ground, just like a mountain which has had its wings cut off by Lord Indra. And then Pralambasura attained impersonal liberation. He attained impersonal liberation. So, let us talk about Lord Balaram killing Rukmi. So, it's a bit of a long story, but Rukmi, after Rukmini's marriage to Krishna, quite some time. Actually, Rukmini is already a grandmother. Prajumna is one of her children, and his son, one of his sons, was Aniruddha. So Rukmini, in order to please Rukmini, he allowed that his granddaughter, Rochana was her name, Rochana, that his granddaughter marry Aniruddha, just to please his sister. Actually, he wasn't very happy about it. He didn't want it to happen. But what could he do with his sister? So the wedding happened, and now the wedding is just finished, and after the wedding, there is, you know, the meal and the socializing and all these things. So, one of Rukmini's friends, the king of Kalinga, suggested to Rukmini, why don't you challenge Balaram to a game of dice? He really likes sporting activities, but he's not very good at them. So challenge him to a game of dice, defeat him, and we'll have a good laugh. So, okay, Rukmini agreed. Challenge Balaram. Dice match or gambling match happened. First of all, there was a wager, 100 coins. Then 1,000, then 10,000. Rukmi won. And the king of Kalinga, he had kind of, you could say, prominent teeth. Yeah. And he laughed at Balaram. And Balaram didn't. So then Balaram immediately challenged. Next wager, 100,000 coins. Balaram won. But Rukmi, through some cheating way, somehow convinced the people that he'd won. And Balaram was really upset with that. Shaking with anger, like the ocean on the full moon day, Balaram then wagered 100 million gold coins. And he won. But Rukmi again tried to cheat. But then a voice came from the sky. Actually, Balaram has won. Rukmi lost. But still Rukmi tried to push that I won. Ask the witnesses. Who cares about the voice from the sky? We've got more voices here. They all say I won. So Rukmi said, you cowherd who wander in the forests, know nothing about dice. Playing with dice and sporting with arrows are only for kings like us, not for the likes of you. Oh, that was it. Lord Balaram was so provoked to anger. In the midst of that auspicious wedding assembly, he picked up his club and struck Rukmi once on the head. Bang! Rukmi dropped dead. The king of Kalinga, he realized, I make next. He turned and ran. Bhagavatam says, he ran 10 steps. On the 10th step, Lord Balaram caught him and with his club smashed him in the mouth. And that was the end of his prominent teeth. Special dental job. Knocked out all his teeth. And then Balaram attacked the other kings who were the friends of Rukmi and company, and smashed them. They fled in fear, the Bhagavatam says, their arms, thighs, and heads broken, and their bodies drenched in blood. However, while his brother-in-law Rukmi was slain, Lord Krishna neither applauded nor protested, for he feared jeopardizing his affectionate ties with either Rukmini or Balaram. He just acted like nothing happened. Here's all the slaughter going on. Krishna's call. Okay, now the last prominent pastime that Balaram is the main personality in is the killing of Ramahashna Sutta. He was actually a great scholar, great Vedic authority. It's a long story, but Lord Balaram was on pilgrimage during the Battle of Kurukshetra, during that time. And he went there to Naimasharanya, and there was this big gathering of sages. So, when they saw, here comes Lord Balaram, everyone offered their obeisances except Ramahashana Sutta, who was sitting on the Vyasasa. And there is a type of principle, Vedic principle, that when someone is sitting on the Vyasasa, means they're in like really official position as the head of the assembly, then when anybody walks into the assembly, the person on the Vyasasa, and it means the representative of the Vyas, he doesn't have to get off or acknowledge the person's presence or greet them or offer respect. So that is there. But it's a relative principle. It's not an absolute principle. So, Ramahashana Sutta, He didn't bother getting up for the Piazza sign, even for Lord Valorant. And like we said, it's a relative principle. And relative to what? Relative to who it is who's coming into the assembly. And when it's someone important enough, even if you're under the assassin, you must offer your respects and get down and offer him to the assassin. So Lord Balaram, of course, Brother Hash the Sutta should have done that, but he didn't. He was kind of a little conceited. Yes, I'm under the assassin, here I am. So I don't have to offer respect. Lord Balaram understood. He's a minor. He's in the wrong consciousness. And it's misleading as an example for all these sages and in general. So I must address it. I must kill him. So Lord Balaram took a blade of grass. One blade of grass. And just lightly hit him with the blade of grass. Ramakrishna Sutta fell down dead. Then the sages became anxious. And they said to Lord Balaram, you know, we had elected him, appointed him as the head of this assembly. And we blessed him that he would live a long life to be the head of the assembly. And now you've killed him. What are we going to do? Balaram said, no problem. I'll just bring him back to life. But then the sages said, no, no, no. That will contradict your will. Because you are the Supreme Lord. And we don't want to just make you a sort of take it or leave it type of person. That's your will. You felt it was right. So we can't interfere with that. So how are we going to resolve this situation? And you know what? Lord Balaram, as the crest jewel of the intelligent, he knew what to do. He said, have Ramaharshana Sutta's son take over as the head, because the son is the representative of the father, or even can be taken as the manifestation of the father, so it will be just as good. That was Balaram's suggestion, and they accepted. And that is Ugrashrava Sutta, the son of Ramaharshana. And he is the person who spoke, he is the Sutta Goswami who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam.